Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion, commentary on today's economic and political events. Here are some of the issues we'll be discussing today, Wednesday, June 5th, 2013. We're going to talk about how the COMEX has confirmed that gold and silver reports are fraudulent. We're also going to be talking about France preparing for an economic collapse. And we're going to talk a little bit more about Turkey and about Americans have rebuilt less than half of their wealth lost to the recession. But first, we're going to talk about gold and silver markets, a brief review of the finances today and see what they've done. We had gold. It struggled all day, but we're still looking up about $2 at 1403. It's good to see gold up over 1400. You have silver basically unchanged at 2264. Platinum was up $21 at 1516, along with palladium up 7 at $761. The USDX today was down 0.17 at 82.56, along with crude oil up 37 at 93.68. And the paper markets took a little bit of a beating today. And we will tell you them just as soon as I can bring up. For some reason, all my bookmarks just disappeared. We have... Bear with me here, folks. They actually suffered the worst drop in almost 2 months. You had the Dow fall about 217 points, and it closed in below the 15,000 level at 14,960. You had the NASDAQ down 43 at 3,401. The S&P down 22 at 1608. The 10-year yield, of course, so with those numbers, dropped a little bit to 2.10 on the 10-year yield. And I do believe that European markets got a little hit overnight. My screens, and I am blaming my screens. They're not showing...
You know what the problem usually is, Melody?
Yes, Al, I know.
You got to tighten up the nut behind the steering wheel.
Just bite your tongue and be quiet for just a momento.
Okay, can I laugh a little bit, though? Is it okay if I laugh?
Can't
in my silent solitude? Can I kind of smirk a little bit or laugh?
No, you can't laugh, whistle, jump up and down, or do any of those annoying things that you're so fond of doing. Even my computer is rejecting its request by me. But so anyway, the European markets were lower overnight. Again, Japan is struggling, and things are not so bright in the future. Hiring as small businesses are tapering off, Al. Report came out today, and it's no big surprise. I mean, the smallest companies, those with fewer than 50 workers, added only about 58,000 jobs in May, and that was according to a report today. Of course, by ADP, the non-payroll farm report comes out on Friday. Everyone is looking forward to that. This is just a little bit of a peek into what the Friday numbers can show. This is a little bit of an uptick from last month. However, according to their data, small firms started the year strong. In January, they created 106,000 jobs. So, that has dropped in half. So the report also goes on to say how business owners, they're very pessimistic about the future of the economy. They're not making any bets. Customers will come in to generate extra revenue to pay for these workers. And firms with fewer than 50 workers make up the vast majority of small businesses in the U.S. 97% of the 6 million companies recorded by the census data, and they employ just over 31 million workers in 2010. And, of course, that was the latest data available. But I would think that a new census would be coming out shortly, because I know we had to complete one here just a couple months ago. So,
the principal source of new jobs, my understanding, is small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to find, although the government is biased in favor of major corporations don't do the majority of the hiring in this country. Most of the new jobs particularly are down at small business level. And my understanding is that most of the job creation takes place, if it's going to take place at all, at the small business level. And the only other alternative is government. They have concealed for years. Hiring has been going down. Employment's been going down in this country. And they've concealed it for years. They've concealed it since they started moving jobs over to foreign countries. And that loss of industrial jobs and whatever were associated with the industrials, that was concealed by government simply growing the size of government, particularly at the state level. We hired more government employees, and it seemed like, and therefore we compensated for the jobs that were lost. The jobs became invisible. The loss became invisible to the people, at least, because people still had jobs. They're doing okay. The problem is that government jobs don't produce anything. They are one step above welfare. Right? They make little or no productive contribution to the economy. And again, they want cars, they don't build cars. They want homes, they don't build homes. They want food, they don't grow food. Meaning government employees. You can't expand the class of non-productive workers and expect to come to a happy ending. If you're running a farm, you can't. Things aren't going to improve if you hire 50 employees who don't do anything. You got to actually grow some corn or raise some beef or something. There has to be productive. And we have moved away from that. And now we are coming to a moment when we are going to have to pay for that stupidity, and at best stupidity. I think it was something that they understood from the beginning when they shipped jobs overseas. They knew it was going to be trouble. They tried to conceal the trouble by hiring more government employees, but that trouble is still there, and I think we're seeing more and more of it. I saw what's the principal problem? Certainly one of the principal problems that is faced by small businesses. Why is it that they can't grow? I saw something, matter of fact, what I saw was an article, and we talked about it in the program maybe 2 weeks ago. Back when I was a kid, it was something like a fifth of the population, a fifth of the people who had jobs, were self-employed. Today, it's only something like 5 or 8%. We have lost those self-employed people, people that had their own little store, the people that had their own little business. What has driven them out of business, Melody?
They're all working for Walmart.
They're all working for Lowe's. They're all working
It's not because they're working for other people, because they can't
compete.
They can't meet the regulation requirements that's been imposed on them by government.
Well, I
they've
think
been driven out of business by too much government. And then what do they do? Well, they got to take a job working for the government or working for Walmart if they can find them.
Well, pretty much all came about at the same time. You're right. Regulations gotten tougher. Taxes have gotten higher. And, of course, with being able to import the cheap trinkets from China, the mom-and-pop shops find it very difficult to compete. It's very difficult to compete with prices of Walmart, and that drives them out of business. So it's the same way with the butchers and however. I mean, to me, I believe it's also a lost art anymore. And I think you're seeing this in various areas, woodworking, things that people make with their hands, beautiful, artistic. It's being lost. The young generations, the young, they don't want to get their hands dirty. Or maybe it's just too difficult, Al. I don't know. But the young generation, the younger people don't want to do it. We see this in many things. A lot of your artists are elderly now, about dying off. And it used to be they would pass these traits on down through the family. And that's no longer the case.
And that's in large measure because the self-employed, the population of self-employed people has dropped dramatically in large measure because of government regulation. Mm-hmm. And once that happens, one of the best things, in my life is that my dad had his own business. And as a result, I grew up knowing how to work hard. I mean, he was yelling and screaming and whatever, and at times it drove me nuts, but he taught me how to work hard, and there have been, and I mean hard. I mean, there's been times in my life when I was working 100 hours a week in order to try to survive, but it was something I was capable of doing because I'd learned to work hard because I was brought up by my dad was self-employed, right? And you learn that, and it can carry you through times when you don't have enough brains to get through otherwise. All you can do is overwhelm your problem with sheer brute force. I didn't outsmart my problems at times. I just kept on running and gunning until the problems, they were overwhelmed. But you learn that. It was a great, great gift to grow up in a family where the father was self-employed. That was a great gift because inevitably you're brought in and you wind up working there. And it teaches you a completely different attitude. And these kids today, because there are so few self-employed people, there's no one to teach the kids how to work hard. There's no one to teach them how to even take a certain amount of satisfaction in hard work. And I did. I delighted in it. And it wasn't just hard work working around a store. I mean, it was an excavation business. Dug ditches, drove a dump truck, operated heavy equipment. It was hard work, and you better not be caught standing around if there was something to do. The old man would be yelling and screaming, and I don't mean a little bit. But it teaches you things, and you can't get it anywhere else. And you learn it early in life. I'm learning those lessons when I was 12 years old. Today, kids won't even get a job until they're 18, 20.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a difference.
And they do it because they have to.
Yeah.
We did it because we wanted. We couldn't wait to get a job. We couldn't wait to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And when we turned 18, we couldn't wait to work to be independent. I mean, this is how we were groomed. And when you talk at the, and I'm not saying this is, it is all young, young generation today, the youth of today, but they don't understand how to go the extra mile. And I think we mentioned it on yesterday's program. They want to make as much money as possible with the least amount of work that they have to do. And life doesn't work that way. And, you know, something else, Al, I believe there's actually been a stigma attached to small businesses with the onset of places like Walmart and Home Depot and Lowe's. People think you get better prices, better services. And I think looks are deceiving. I know how hard I work here. And I expect my staff to work as hard. And I expect us to do more than just one person's job. We do a lot. We process a lot with the staff that we have. And it's expected and required. And we do a great job. Pricing? I can beat anybody's prices as long as they're legitimate prices. Our service is better than any big companies. You know, and I'm talking really big companies. And sometimes your little companies, you'd be surprised how well they can, how much better they can do. But a lot of people feel more comfortable with doing business with a larger firm and thinking that there's better education and better everything else. And that's, it's just not true. It's just
not true. You get hold of, when you find people that are working for themselves, they necessarily, well, if they're going to last, they absolutely have to work harder. They have to work more efficiently. They have to do a better job. They appreciate. They're not just employees. There's a completely different mindset. When you're self-employed, you are busting your buns in order to do a very good job. When you're working for somebody else, you're just waiting for 5 o'clock. Let's get our check and get down to, you know, it's Miller time. You don't have an investment in the business other than just putting in your time and getting out as quick as you can when you're just an employee. Get the money, get out, do whatever it is you're going to do with it. You don't have an investment in the business. You don't really care about the quality of your work to the same extent. On average, there's exceptions, but on average, that self-employed individual, if he's going to succeed, he or she, he's got to do a great job. So here we are, and we have a generation of kids that are coming up that don't know how to work.
Mm-mm.
And they are going to be very surprised when the time comes that the government can't support them anymore. Right? A lot of people are counting on this. In fact, we've got a, let me see if I can, where is that article? Had this, here it is. This is from Mises Daily, which is Ludwig von Mises Institute. Why does a large portion of the population choose not to work when there are many jobs available? The answer is simple. If you can receive 2 to 3 times as much money from unemployment, disability, and or welfare benefits, subsidized housing, food stamps, free cell phones, etc., as you can from a temporary or part-time job, and live a life of leisure, why work? In 2011, the U.S. government spent over $800 billion on this welfare, exceeding expenditures on Social Security or Medicare. Now, $800 billion, you divide that by the population of 310 million, you're talking $2,600 per person that the government is spending on welfare in this country. So you can understand, I'm not getting that $2,600, I guarantee you that, and I don't think you're getting it, Melody. So some group of people is living large based on welfare and whatever is available, subsidized housing, food stamps, and so on.
And you know what the most frustrating thing about that is? The majority of them shouldn't qualify, and then there's other folks who need it and can't get it.
Yeah.
And a lot of these welfare benefits and so forth are going to illegal aliens.
A percentage error, that's a report.
And I've worked with some high school friends, worked in the welfare department in Pennsylvania, and they says they basically have destroyed where I grew up at, but they basically advertise in various parts of New York to bring them into this town here in southern Pennsylvania. And this says you wouldn't believe what they get paid. They get cars. They get automobiles. They get insurance. They get, you know, their family. They bring family member after family member after family member. And they quit their job because they couldn't handle the abuse. And then someone else couldn't get it that needed it because they didn't have the ability, or not the ability, but they didn't fit into the little criteria that they that's required.
Well, it's the whole thing. We have a government that's doing things that are so, you know, one of the things, we'll talk about this when we get back. We're going to take our commercial break right now. We'll get back and we'll think about this, ladies and gentlemen. When was the last time government had a program that you actually thought did this country any good? I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom. We will be back in a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs, Melody, do we have a special for folks today?
We're going to continue the special, the Mint State 64 $20 gold piece with a one-year subscription to the International Forecaster. It can either be a new one or one of your renewals. And free shipping for the price today is $1,915. $1,915. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's a Mint State 64 $20 gold piece. Includes your shipping and a one-year subscription to the International Forecaster. It is a great little special, and you get something that is a newsletter that provides a various insights from writers involved in the economy and their views. So pick it up and share it. It's all about educating. It's all about sharing this information with people, your family and your friends. And so great deal. Give us a call.
1-800-375-4188. What else have we got, Melody? We were going to talk a little bit more, extend on the idea. What government programs have you folks seen? Those of you in the audience, how many have you seen that you actually think are doing this country any good? Now, I know that there are people out there who have received a free cell phone thanks to Obama. And so they're going to sit back and say, well, that's a great program. I mean, if you're getting a free handout from the government, of course, you're going to favor that. But how many programs have you seen where you are not a recipient of benefits that you think are reasonable, where the government isn't just wasting money, where the government isn't creating false system of values? We've got people, again, according to the report we were reading from Ludwig van Mises Institute, $800 billion was spent on welfare in 2011. All right. Again, population 310 million, that works out to about $2,600 per person. All right. And I didn't get it. Melody didn't get any and the rest of that sort of thing. So presumably a lot of this money is going to a relatively small number of people. And they're not just getting $2,600. That's the average. They're getting a bunch more. They're getting $10,000, $15,000 a year, $20,000. I don't know how much they're getting out of the government if they play it smart enough, if they're getting food stamps and they're getting rent subsidies and they're getting welfare and disability. I have no idea how much they're making. But this article, again, it says in the Denver area, where Mr. Obama gave his 2008 acceptance speech, a woman in the audience became overwhelmed by the speech and said she no longer needed to worry if she could make her car mortgage payments because he, meaning Obama, would take care of her. In Cleveland, a woman claimed that she was going to vote for President Obama again because he gave her a free cell phone, along with a litany of other entitlement giveaways. What's going to happen to these people when the government finally has to admit, gee, we don't have any more money? We can't afford to support you anymore. What's going to happen to the people who have relied on government financial support and that rug is pulled out from under them, as I think it has to be? It has to be simply because you can't keep raising taxes to support the unemployed, in part. Raising taxes, and the taxes are imposed on the people who are actually still working for a living. They have to pay more taxes to support people who aren't working. It's suicidal. It's self-destructive. It can't continue indefinitely. There has to be a moment when finally the government admits that it can't provide the welfare that people have come to expect. And what is going to happen? That's when the people who are taking all that welfare are going to begin to starve and or riot. And it's one of the reasons why so many people are buying guns in this country. They understand it. The people who still have jobs, even the people who don't have jobs, understand. They sense that there's at least a possibility that the way things are going and the way they're being run right now, that we're headed for big trouble. I don't know if it's going to happen this week or next year. I don't know what's happening to us. But we seem to be moving in that direction. And it goes back to that idea of these government programs. What has government done on balance that has served this country well in the last 20 years? Can you think of anything that has actually served this country well? I cannot. In fact, I look at it, and from my perspective, virtually every program we see is causing this country to grind down lower and lower and degrade further and further. And no matter what sort of good intentions they claim to have, in the end, what the result seems to be is the country becomes less strong, less prosperous, less homogenized. Huh? How is that going to work well for us? That's one question. And the other question is, how can government do the wrong thing time and time and time again without people beginning to wonder, are they doing wrong intentionally You know, we write it off a lot of times. We sit back and say, well, the government's just stupid, or they're idiots, or they're morons. Are they? Are they really that stupid? I mean, you can, if you're stupid, half the time, you ought to do something that's right. There should be some percentage. Even stupid people do the right thing from time to time. Government doesn't seem to do the right thing very often. Right? It seems to be, if you can point to instances where they're doing the right thing, it is a minority, a tiny percentage. How can that be? How is it that they don't learn? Why don't they pay attention to what's happening to this country? Why do they insist that we have a problem, people being employed? They recognize that, but they don't want to admit that part of the reason is because they knock the tariff barriers and ship jobs over to third world countries and industries. Government doesn't ever admit its mistakes. It doesn't learn from its mistakes if it doesn't admit them. And are we just dealing with morons, Melody? Or are these people out to get us?
Let's talk about the biggest moron of all. Today, the Beige Book came out, the Federal Reserve. Recovery still modest and moderate. And that's what they said in Bernanke, the Federal Reserve. They're using those words to describe the U.S. economy. And this is even 4 years after the recession had ended. And the quote from the Beige Book reports that overall economic activity increased at a modest to moderate pace since the previous report. And, of course, that's why the markets were down today, thinking that they might be pulling back a little bit on the quantitative easing on the stimulus. And yesterday, Bill Gross, the biggest investment pension funds, he says, hey, your stimulus isn't working. But this was the Beige Book. It was a 47-page report, which they used the word moderate 56 times, modest 54 times, and it described hiring as increasing at a measured pace and prices.
Yeah, measurable. Increasing at a measurable pace. That means we have instruments that are capable of measuring one extra job per million. Huh? It's measurable. Okay, what's the pace? It's 0.0000001. We can measure it. So it's some increasing at a measurable pace.
And prices rising at a mild pace. But this is how they collect this information. There's 12 regional districts. And as an example, you have two shopping malls in upstate New York, and they come out and say, business was a little sluggish in April. It was due to the weather. It was they always blame the weather. It picked up a little bit in May. You have auto dealers in one of these 12 regional districts that say, hey, we had strong sales today, and maybe you also had a trucking company somewhere in one of these regions that said that they're going to have to order more trucks to keep up with the shipping volumes. You on the West Coast, you had several companies say that tourism declined, and this is how they come out with their moderate and their modest reports. So, but this is supposedly what made the stock market drop about 200 points, as with a measured and moderate economy. Perhaps they could start tapering its purchases in the next few meetings. So,
well, it amuses me that they blame the weather.
Yes.
And part of the reason it amuses me is because there are increasing number of people who think they're engaged in geoengineering. They believe that the government is trying to control the weather by spraying chemicals and minerals and substances into the air from with jet aircraft, resulting in chemtrails. If we are going to blame the weather, if that's a valid concern or valid excuse, and if it's also true that the government is responsible for geoengineering and they're actually changing the weather, and it follows that if we're having problems that we blame on the weather, we're having problems we can blame on the government. And I know the government can't catch a break no matter what happens, but, you know, it's easy to sit back and poke fun at the government. I get that. But yet, what else are we going to do? What do you praise government for? They have very nearly destroyed the economy. They've taxed us into oblivion. They show no sign of relenting. They insist that people at the federal level be entitled to be paid double what they receive, what they would receive if they were in the private sector. You know, what are you going to do with these people? They have to be stopped. They have to come to realize. We have to understand, first off, that they are killing this country, and they have to understand it, too. And they have to understand, those of you who work for the government, you want to do something for this country, you really want to fight for our freedoms, quit working for the government. You understand? Get a job. Make a productive contribution to society.
But with the continued flow of jobs leaving this country, it's very difficult. And, you know, it's very difficult to find positions. It's very difficult. I mean, just like, and it's even going to get worse, because even in this Beige Book report, it talks about in Chicago, substantial improvement. Well, the employers said that they're uncertain about costs related to health care reform. It's causing them to delay hiring.
Mm-hmm.
Or increasing the usage of temporary workers. And even in Dallas and Richmond districts said that they were reducing employees' work weeks to minimize their costs related to health care reforms. We talked about this, what, a year ago, Al? To where people are going to be, they're going to be reducing people's work hours and eliminating their positions so they don't have to pay the cost that involved in the health care reform.
I understand.
So, you know, the job situation is difficult, very difficult.
But it's just more evidence of the government comes in with these idiot programs as if they are going to save the world, and all they do is make things worse. This is a consequence of Obamacare. Thanks to Obamacare, people are not, so who used to have jobs 40 hours a week are now working 30 hours a week. All right? And maybe they can have an increase. We could have increase in jobs because the guy used to work 40 hours a week is now working 30 hours a week. So he's taking another part-time job for 20 hours a week to try to make ends meet. But why does he need two jobs instead of one that he used to have? Well, because Obama is giving us the great glory and benefit of free medical health care, which will cost the average person something like an extra $5,000 a year, at least according to some reports. We're going to get less health care. It's going to be rationed. That means there won't be enough to go around. The price is going to increase, so we're going to be paying more for less. And at the same time, we're also going to see our employment reduced from 40 hours a week to maybe 30 hours a week, so the employer doesn't have to chip in on this health care cost. So where is the benefit in this program? Obamacare, excuse me.
Would you like me to take over, Al, while you're calming down? But it is. The health care is, well, we talked about it earlier, where for a 25-year-old single male, it's going to cost him over $200 a month. Mm-hmm. I didn't pay those kind of numbers until I was well above 29. So, how can these kids afford the health care? It's being forced upon them. It's cheaper just to pay the fine. You know, I watched a program this weekend. It was a little documentary. It wasn't anything real eye opening, but it was about folks who are going overseas to get their health care. Because they can't afford the health care here. There was a gentleman who needed a hip replacement. He went to India. It cost him $8,000. Here in the States, it would have been over $50,000. And not only did he get his hip replaced in India, he had a 2-week where he had therapy on the beach in a very nice hotel resort. There was another young lady who ended up going to Mexico because she had surgeries here in the States that they botched. And she went down to Mexico because she could afford it. And here she couldn't get the care that she couldn't afford it. She had already spent over $1 million of her own money. Well, that was the debts that she had that she has to pay.
Well, we can wonder how much of the cost of medical care in this country, how much of it is a function of the regulations that have been imposed by the government. I know part of it, and much of it, is perhaps the result of doctors and hospitals that are at least trying to make a decent profit, maybe even an exorbitant profit. That was not more true 10 years ago than perhaps today. But a bunch of the cost of medical care is because the government, in its infinite wisdom, has regulated it so much that you can't get it unless you are prepared ultimately to pay for all of the regulations that the government has imposed on health care. Somewhere along the line, people in government have to begin to realize that all their great ideas, they have these brilliant ideas. I know, why don't we do this? We need another regulation. Maybe we don't need another regulation. Maybe we can't afford any more regulations. Maybe the best thing, again, the best thing you could do if you work for government, do us all a favor and quit. I mean, we'd be better off if most of the people who work for government went on welfare. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
And we got a question coming in from Ivan. And the question here is, according to Russia's RIA Novosti, the Department of Defense has notified Congress of its intent to contract with Rosoboron Export for 30 additional Mi-17 rotary wing aircraft to support the Afghanistan National Security Forces Special Mission Wing. And that was announced by James Gregory, a Pentagon spokesman. There is a congressional ban in place against the Russian company. And his question is, how can this happen?
Well, Ivan, all I can say is maybe you've never heard of this in Russia, but in big business, they have things called bribes. And if the money's right and the right people are involved and the right people stand to profit, it's all possible. How can it happen? Again, if I'm understanding the question correctly, the company that's going to sell these 17 tilt-wing helicopters, if I understand correctly, but aircraft of some sort, to the United States Defense Department is a Russian corporation that the Congress has declared persona non grata. They didn't want to do business with them, but here they are. They're going to do it anyway. And I don't, it's one of the problems. It's evidence of the kind of problem we see in government. And we've touched on it, I think, in the last week or two. At least I saw an article. I don't remember if we talked about it on the program. Government has grown so large that it's not clear that anyone is really in charge. For example, who is really responsible for the Cincinnati office of the Internal Revenue Service deciding whether it would or would not issue paperwork and approval to people who were associated with the Tea Party when they wanted a particular break from the IRS? IRS was making political decisions. Who's responsible for that? Does anyone know? Does anyone think they're going to find out? Who is responsible for the regulations that are promulgated by the different governmental agencies like the FDA or, who knows, Department of Health or wherever? These regulations are being made by bureaucrats, not by Congress, by bureaucrats. And these bureaucrats are largely unaccountable to the public. And the point I'm trying to illustrate is that the government has become privatized in a way where what one agency does is unknown to all the rest of them. They don't know what's going on. Nobody's really responsible. And it parallels the story that Ivan is bringing to us in his question, where he says, here's the Department of Defense. They say, we want to buy these aircraft from this Russian corporation. Congress, on the other hand, say, no, we don't want to do business with that corporation. Nobody knows what's going on. Government has grown so large that it has become incoherent. It's become separated and dissolved into a bunch of little fiefdoms. And this perhaps is the story about buying an aircraft is.
Well, you know, probably the greatest motivator behind this is drugs. The amount of opium that is produced out of Afghanistan. Yeah. I mean, if you go back and look at the numbers before, I mean, they had their crops down to, it was like under 200 tons. And now it's up to almost 6,000 tons. It's probably more than that, because that number, 6,000 tons, was from, I think, 2011. It increased, you know, 60, 70%.
More than that, if it's going for...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, much more.
I mean, that was just in 1 year, it increased by 61%. That was just in, I think, in 2011, it increased by 61%, just that 1 year. And you're right, over a period of time, it's much higher than 61%. So they've got something they need to protect. And the billions of dollars that they are making off of these crops is, you know, when you talk about the war on drugs, you know, it wasn't.
The war on some drugs and the war on some drug dealers. All right. If you're not a government approved drug dealer, well, you can expect the government to wage war against you. But on the other hand, there have been stories for a couple of decades, and there's some evidence to suggest the stories are true, that even government agencies such as the CIA have been smuggling drugs at one point, and maybe still, into this country for the purpose of generating revenue that was off the books that they could use to fight covert wars out in Central America or someplace. We have the government, at least stories, rumors, government smuggling drugs. There is something that is just lost. It becomes It's not just confusing, it's evidence that the government is out of control in so many ways. And we can point to drugs, and maybe the drug stories are true and maybe they're false, but there is no question that Obamacare, stories about Obamacare causing people to lose their jobs or at least stop working 40 hours a week and now be working maybe 30 hours a week, those stories are true. Right? We can debate whether the drug stories are true, but those stories about Obamacare are absolutely true. And who's going to deal with the truth? Who's going to say this is stupid? Let's stop doing it. It's self-destructive. Anybody going to say that in Washington? Are they going to say that? Or will they say, well, let's find a way to try to make this monstrosity work? If Frankenstein can't stand on two legs, well, I know. Let's raise taxes and we'll get him a third leg. And then Frankenstein will be able to stand. I'm saying, why not put Frankenstein in the grave? Why not call a monster and be done with it? And the government certainly isn't going to do that, and they haven't, and they don't want to. They have too many investments and too many special interests to serve, and it's everything is
not going away.
Yeah. All right,
even if you get some politician, oh, well, let's change it. They make these programs so huge. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of that program is already in effect. It's already affecting people's lives, funds that are coming out of their pockets to support the health care, this new system. But they might chop it up a little bit. But, folks, it's here to stay. We got a caller from Texas. His name is Wayne. Hello, Wayne.
Hi, good afternoon, folks.
How you doing?
Do you have a question?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sure.
I had some for Al, you know, talking about Obamacare. And something I've been trying to figure out about this whole scenario is you have all these friends of Obama, I call them foos, and a lot of these unions, and even a state or two, have been exempted from Obamacare. And I thought there was a maxim of law that says equality under the law is paramount. And so I'm just trying to figure out, how can a supposed law apply to some citizens and not others and still be constitutional?
It's a great question. And the answer, again, I've expanded. I've embraced a theory that the government presumes us to be operating in territories like TX rather than the state of Texas and OK rather than the state of Oklahoma. We can debate the validity of the theory, but the government within the territories, under the Constitution, Congress has exclusive legislative jurisdiction in the territories. Within the territories, Congress is the sovereign. Congress can do anything it wants. And assuming that the theory is correct, that they are treating us as presuming us to live in territories rather than within states of the Union, assuming that theory is correct, it might offer some explanation. There are two sections of the Constitution that also prohibit titles of nobility. And very few people understand what a title of nobility is, but what it is an advantage or privilege enjoyed by one person or one group that is not enjoyed by the balance of the country. Under the title of nobility, there's two sections. One says the states can't grant titles of nobility. One says the feds can't grant titles of nobility. And yet, if people understood what that was, it might give us leverage to say, look, you can't say that the law applies to one group, but it doesn't apply to the other. One of the most important groups that it doesn't apply to, Wayne, who is it that routinely exempts itself from the law as it passes? It's the legislature.
Probably lawyers and Congress.
Yeah.
Sure.
They see nothing wrong. I guarantee you. One of the best things that could happen to this country is if Congress was subject to every idiot law that it enacts, we might not see so many idiot laws. Wipe out all of the exemptions. Forget the nonsense that government, the Congress is exempt. Bunk. You write the law, you're in it. Huh? That would cause them to sharpen up quite a bit, and they would be a little more responsible. Have you heard that relative to Obamacare, they have discovered that the cost will be so high that they're afraid it's going to cause many of the congressional assistants and interns and whatever are going to have to be released because they can't afford to keep them on. So Congress is starting, is holding hearings for itself to try to figure out how they can get out from Obamacare. And not just them, staff. They want the staff out from under Obamacare. And how are they going to do that without making the people angry? They say, well, we can't afford Obamacare, but all the rest of you people out there in TV land, you can afford Obamacare. This
so what you're talking about, Al, with the titles of nobility, though, do you see some sort of basis where individuals could have a strategy to counteract, you know, the Obamacare regulations placed on us, like, you know, through some sort of notice of inquiry?
I think it's a basis
or...
for attack. I don't know how to implement that attack. But it gives us legal constitutional grounds where we could raise a pretty interesting issue. Not to say that we'd necessarily win, but it's the sort of thing. Look, the law is supposed to be the same for everyone. And Congress takes it for granted that they can exempt states and individuals and unions and the congressional staff and Congress itself. It's a bunch of just, it's wrong. It's wrong so many ways. It frustrates the American people. It causes us to lose confidence in our government, in our legislature. We know that they're passing laws to help people that Congress wants to help, and that doesn't necessarily include you or me.
Absolutely.
What do you think?
You know,
what do you think
blog.
Should be done?
How about maybe post some on your blog and see if some of the researchers you have out there might offer some ideas if you ever have any time to plug that
well,
in.
Well, it's something that's run through my mind. I need to get the ideas. At the moment, it's a little too half-baked to put up on the blog, but it's been bouncing around the back of my mind for some time. Again, these titles of nobility. That's what they're doing. They're saying these people are noble. These people are special. They are above the law. We don't need to include them. It's just the rest of you dummies, the rest of the chumps who are actually paying taxes and don't have enough brains or they have too much moral principle to take advantage of all the welfare that's available. You idiot taxpayers, we're going to make you pay and pay big time. But these other people, they're special. We're going to give them a break. It's infuriating. And again, if it was just stupidity, it might be tolerable. But if it were just stupidity, we've got to also see some programs from time to time where they do what's good for the American people, and I don't see that. They've brought the debt up so great, we're never going to get out from under this. We're going to see a terrible problem in this country before it's done, and we are going to see it precisely because government has behaved in a way that's irresponsible, self-serving, and perhaps even treasonous. Somebody needs to be held
accountable. Absolutely. You know, with all the illegal aliens and some of the people on welfare, we're probably about three missed meals away from total chaos.
Yeah, I understand. I agree with you. I mean, it's again, they've got riots going on in Turkey. And what triggered the riots? The government wanted to chop down a couple of trees in a park. That was all. And now they've got the biggest riots. The whole world is fragile, unstable, and nobody knows what's going to set it off. But you can see, if you look around, that the problems that they have in Turkey are not so dissimilar from the potential problems here in the United States. And you got to wonder, how much longer can they hold this thing together? We don't know, but perhaps we'll find out tomorrow. We're out of time. Thank you for your call.
You.
Wayne, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, good Lord bless you, be Melody, Wayne, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.